Ah, autumn. The days are getting shorter, the leaves are changing, Halloween is on its way. And tradition, so much tradition.
News tonight at 6, clown sightings in Ironton, Ohio. No joke, police say they have been swarmed with sightings all over town with scary clowns just, you know, walking down the sidewalk.
Yep, they're back. Last year at this time, to believe the reporting, the country was overrun with evil clowns, terrorizing communities across the USA.
Cracking down on clowns spotted in 6 central Ohio communities.
A group of girls told Annapolis police it happened on their walk to school. Monday morning, they spotted a creepy clown.
Plus, with Halloween on the way, scary clown sightings have communities on edge from South Jersey to New York.
Reports of creepy clown sightings caused mayhem at UMass Amherst and Penn State, too. Cell phone video shows hundreds of students running through campus trying to hunt down the clown.
As I said last year around this time, the clown situation is out of control. That's from an interview we did with Benjamin Radford, author of Bad Clowns and a research fellow with the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. With clowns making their annual resurgence, we're re-airing that interview to remember our historic and cultural relationship with clown sightings.
The phenomenon that we've seen over the past month or so is a combination of two different things. The first one is stalker clowns, and these are people who dress up as clowns, usually teenagers, sometimes young adults. They're on darkened street corners. They're at parks at night. They don't actually harm anyone. They're just sort of standing around looking weird and strange, out of place. The other type of clown is the phantom clowns.
Clown hysteria is a periodic phenomenon going back at least 35 years to the first so-called phantom clown sightings in Brookline, Massachusetts in 1981.
There were children who claimed that bands of clowns, often in white vans, were trying to lure and abduct them. And, of course, as you can imagine, this created lots of panic at the time among parents and school teachers and police.
And this has played out again and again over the years in various cities around the country. And I guess they tend to cluster, right? Such as this go-around when what started in Greenville has shown up in Ohio, in Philadelphia, you name it, all more or less with the same story. Children spotting clowns in the woods, claiming to have been lured towards the woods, and then parents and actual police getting involved.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It tends to be a cyclical thing. So in my book, I examine the history of these clown panics. And there were several reports in the 1980s. For a while, they were confined mostly to the United States. Then there were also reports in Great Britain. There was some in Honduras and elsewhere. And then they would fade away because when police actually investigated, they never found anyone.
No clown prints, no clown DNA, no grease paint on tree limbs or anything like that?
Not even a fingerprint on a rubber chicken.
Has anyone ascertained whether the kids are just making it up as sort of a prank or tall tale, doing it on purpose to alarm the adults, or are there cases of actual hallucinations?
So there's not one blanket explanation that covers everything, but essentially, you know, many of the reports that we know for a fact are hoaxes. There's been several children, in fact, even some adults more recently, who have confessed that they did not actually see a clown lurking around a playground or a park or something. They did it for attention. They did it maybe to get out of school. But in this case, of course, the subject is potential abductors. And that's why these stories are taken seriously in many places by schools and police.
And not for no reason. For example, John Wayne Gacy, the Chicago area serial killer.
John Gacy, a man who liked to put on a clown suit and entertain children. Now he is charged with one murder, and the police have found, at last count, 27 bodies buried under his house and garage, and 2 more in a nearby river.
Gacy's connection to clowns is slightly overblown. He did dress as a clown on occasion. He was actually a building contractor by trade. He wasn't a professional clown. And he didn't kill anyone as a clown, but he certainly promoted the idea of him as a killer clown after he was arrested.
When I got into clown makeup, I regressed into childhood. It was fun being a clown because you could be yourself or just let yourself go and act a fool.
But the notion of kids being at risk, of adults luring them into danger, is, I guess, omnipresent.
It is. And if you look back at it, it, certainly American history in general, there's always been this latent stranger danger fear. You saw this in the 1980s, not only with the clown panics, but also at the time, as you may recall, there was a satanic panic going on, fueled by people like Geraldo Rivera and others who told these lurid stories, these sensational accounts of Satanists trying to abduct children.
The Investigative News Group presents the Geraldo Rivera Special. Devil worship.
Whether a Satan exists is a matter of belief, but we are certain that Satanism exists. To some, it's a religion. To others, it's the practice of evil in the devil's name. It exists, and it's flourishing.
And then there were miscarriages of justice, the McMartin preschool case, for example.
These were staff of the McMartin preschool in California who'd been accused of sexual abuse and satanic rituals based entirely on the so-called recovered memory of children. A jury determined there was no proof of abuse.
And, you know, this is a good example of how rumors and fears can really take hold and take root in America. You know, we're in tumultuous times. There's lots of concern about who the next president might be, what he or she might do. There's actual terrorism. There are occasional school shootings. And so, you know, it doesn't surprise me that the phantom clowns might resurface.
Now, there is real life free-floating anxiety, and then there's pretend, and it seems that a factor in this is Stephen King, his book It from 1986.
When people think about modern scary clowns in fiction, one of the big ones is, of course, Stephen King's Pennywise, with Tim Curry playing the evil clown.
Oh, come on, bucko. Don't you want a balloon?
Supposed to take stuff from strangers. My dad said so.
Very wise of your dad, Georgie. Very wise indeed.
For many people, certainly my generation Xers and older, they have this touchstone of this evil clown. For other people, it's Shakes the Clown, the Bobcat Goldthwait comedy.
I don't have a problem with my alcohol. I can stop anytime I want to. I just don't because I'm having a lot of fun with my drinking.
Oh, here we go. He puke in my car. No big pieces.
Or Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
They're coming!
We've neglected to mention the Joker, who terrorized entire cities, in fact, the whole world.
Oh, absolutely. And the Joker is probably the world's best-known evil clown, you know, by far. You've got a DC Comics villain portrayed by Cesar Romero in the TV series and most famously by Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson and more recently by Jared Leto in The Suicide Squad. If you're going to have a good hero, you need a good villain. That's the role that the Joker plays.
I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No. No, you complete me.
There was Homie the Clown, right, who was from In Living Color.
I don't think so. Homie don't play that.
And some of the reports in the 90s of the sort that we're seeing today were specifically of Homie the Clown in the woods trying to lure children to their doom.
That's right. It's fascinating when you look at it from a folkloric perspective and you sort of see the elements that people include in their stories and their legends, right? And so, for example, in the Greenville case, there was this fascinating element to it in which the children believed that behind these buildings, through this wooded area, through this lane, there was a house that was housing a bunch of evil clowns. And so you have this really interesting sort of Hansel and Gretel fairy tale aspect to it.
All right, you come to my next point, which is, with all due, I don't know, discredit to John Wayne Gacy and credit to Stephen King, the notion of clowns being just freaky, creepy, scary, chilling, bizarre, and disturbing goes way back past 1980.
The history of clowns goes back in some cases to, for example, the Harlequin, the figure from the Commedia dell'arte. You also have Mr. Punch, the star of the infamous Punch and Judy shows, which have been performed in London for 300 years. The wife-abusing, hook-nosed serial killer who throws his baby out the window, much to the delight of audiences across Europe.
Yeah, Punch throws a baby out the window and children laugh and cheer. weird.
You have this blending of good and bad. You have evil and horror. You have scary and funny. You see that the clown has always been an ambiguous character. So this notion that clowns somehow turned bad recently, they were never really good. Never. In his book, The Hero with a Thousand Faces, Joseph Campbell says, "Universal is the casting of the antagonist, the representative of evil, in the role of the clown. Devils, both lusty thickheads and the sharp, clever deceivers, are always clowns."
Because they were always grotesque in one way or another.
And what's happened is that in American culture, we sort of have this idea when we grew up, like, oh, clowns are, you know, colorful, happy characters. We see them in circuses. We see them in parties. And so we've sort of lost the historical and cultural knowledge about what the actual clown character was. And Stephen King played on this.
But our primal reaction remains?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, part of the reason that people find clowns scary is the mask, right? Because a mask will hide a person's emotions. There's always some question about what's the clown going to do. You never know, right? Is the clown going to pull out a seltzer bottle and squirt you? Is he going to stab you? Is he going to do a trick?
When you're an interviewer and you don't know even how to begin to wrap it up, the question you're obliged to ask is, what is the moral of this story? What are we to learn from Greenville, South Carolina, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Alabama, et al.?
There's a couple lessons. I think one of them is to keep in mind the dangers and consequences of these rumors and legends. There's wasted police resources. Much of what's going on is essentially copycats. One important lesson here is that you have to put these claims in context. Particularly for the news media, it's helpful to recognize that it's not just a single report of a clown allegedly menacing a child. There's folkloric aspects to it. There's cultural aspects to it. Put the issue in context and calm people's fears.
Ben, I appreciate it a great deal. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great talking to you.
Benjamin Radford is a research fellow with the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry and a member of the American Folklore Society and the author of Bad Clowns. Oh, one more thing. Here's a little outtake from that interview. Hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on one second. Recording. Is everything all right?
Yeah, everything was
right.
Call me when you finish.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. We're talking clowns. How sorry can you be?
I guess I might have been a little short with my wife for phoning me during studio hours, but I did call her back right away. She just wanted to inform me that two of our local schools were on lockdown due to clown sightings. Thanks for listening. For more OTM, like us on Facebook, where producers post what they're reading and watching and listening to every day. It will all enrich your media diet.